Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Orange County Library System, offering enriching programs and resources for seniors at 15 locations throughout the county, with hands-on workshops, expert-led seminars, and more. A complete list of programs is available at ocls.org/senior/events.
Zora Neale Hurston's legacy at Rollins College on stage. You're listening to The Wrap from Central Florida Public Media. I'm Brendan Byrne. A play at Rollins College's Annie Russell Theater this weekend looks at the difficulties Zora Neale Hurston had getting her 1933 play seen on campus. The renowned writer and anthropologist was relegated to the rec hall at the time and not allowed in the Annie Russell Theater. The documentary drama Let the People Sing was researched and written by four students and one faculty member.
We look at the moment and we use a little bit of Zora's spirit to imagine what would have been possible if integration was possible, which we know it wasn't at that time at Rollins on the campus at all, full stop.
Hear more about the production and the work done to bring it to life. That's ahead on The Wrap, the big stories this week from Central Florida Public Media. But first, these headlines. Recovery efforts continue in Lake County, about 2 weeks after torrential rains damaged homes and roads. In the span of one day, parts of the county took on close to 20 inches of rain. As Central Florida Public Media's environment reporter Molly Durg explains, recovery efforts will likely be ongoing for weeks.
Brandy Martin says often just getting the recovery process started after a natural disaster can take months, but responding to last month's storm was different.
It is very quick, again, which is unheard of.
Martin runs the nonprofit Lake Support and Emergency Recovery, or LASER. She's worked there nearly 20 years responding to many different disasters. Martin says after this storm, a grant of up to $100,000 from the Mount Dora Community Trust jump-started LASER's recovery efforts.
I believe we had four teams come in to be able to help with the immediate need, to be able to get these homes dried out and get the drywall and the flooring ripped out.
Martin says last month's storm caused structural damage to lots of homes in Lake County. While LASER itself can't fix a foundation, its staff and volunteers can answer homeowners' questions and connect them to resources. Eustis resident Colleen Fisher says she's grateful the water only rose as far as the bottom step in her garage. Outside, her yard resembled a lake. It took 2.5 days to drain.
People just weren't prepared. You know, they didn't realize till after it was knee deep that this was not just an ordinary thunderstorm, you know.
Martin says LASER is looking for more trained volunteers to help with cleanup and recovery. The group is also looking for donations of fill dirt for washed out yards. Molly Durig, Central Florida Public Media.
Orange County has over 10,000 people living with HIV. It has the third highest HIV population in Florida, and the state has the third most HIV diagnoses in the country. Patients who rely on the Affordable Care Act marketplace insurance are contending with how to afford HIV medication in the face of rising premiums. Central Florida Public Media's health reporter Joe Mario Pedersen tells us more.
Florida Marketplace Insurance customers are looking at large premium increases for the 2026 open enrollment period. Ethan Suarez is the executive director of Pineapple Healthcare, a primary care practice in Orlando with a focus on HIV prevention and testing. He says Pineapple's HIV patients are seeing premium increases from $200 a month to $900. Without that insurance, their HIV medication could cost them $2,000 a month.
People are already coming to us saying, like, I can't afford my premium. What am I going to do? I'm living with HIV. I am on a chronic condition that needs medication daily to, you know, be able to live.
Orange County is one of 48 priority jurisdictions in the country due to its high rate of new diagnoses, according to the CDC. There were 450 new diagnoses in 2023. Joe Mario Pedersen, Central Florida Public Media.
Commercial company Blue Origin successfully launched its giant New Glenn rocket from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station Thursday. This was the second flight for New Glenn, and Blue Origin successfully recovered the rocket's first stage booster. The booster was not recovered during New Glenn's maiden flight back in January. The rocket's payload is two spacecraft set to reach Mars. The twin ESCAPADE satellites, named Blue and Gold, will study the planet's magnetosphere and solar winds. Blue and Gold successfully deployed. They'll arrive at Mars in 2027. These stories and more on our website. Visit cfpublic.org. The Wrap, Inbox Edition, is your Wednesday digest of what matters most in Central Florida. The weekly newsletter delivers the top headlines, original reporting, and a handy guide to Central Florida public media events, all presented in a format that's quick and easy to read. It's the perfect companion to The Wrap podcast. Sign up at cfpublic.org/The Wrap. Once upon a time, back in the 1930s, Eatonville's own world-renowned writer and anthropologist, Zora Neale Hurston, staged a play centered on black folklore at Rollins College in Winter Park. Hurston had friends among the professors, but that wasn't enough to get her work on stage at the Annie Russell Theater. She had to produce her show in the Rec Hall instead, and for an all-white audience. Fast forward to today, and the play about the makings of that play is about to hit the very stage Hurston was denied. Let the People Sing is a documentary drama based on the few historical records, letters, and playbills found in Rollins' archives, co-written by theater program director Marianne DiQuattro and four students. Spotlight's Nicole Darden-Creston spoke with DiQuattro, who begins the conversation by setting the scene for the first student-written play ever to be presented as part of the Annie Russell main stage season.
You couldn't have an integrated audience anywhere in Winter Park at this time. And our show is an examination of that politics and those structures of racism, but then the hopefulness of the relationships she formed with those professors. And we look at the moment and we use a little bit of Zora's spirit to imagine what would have been possible if integration was possible, which we know it wasn't at that time at Rollins on the campus at all, full stop.
There are elements of this that challenge the audience to ask themselves perhaps uncomfortable questions. Tell me why a work like this is important right now.
When we were looking at what kind of work to produce in this season, we knew we wanted to give our students a chance to produce a work of documentary drama. And so as I was reading documentary dramas, and they're all about important moments in history, but that took place somewhere else. Things like the Laramie Project, right? Which has had an incredible impact on the world and has changed a lot of attitudes towards hate crimes and violence against people with different identities. And I just thought, well, probably the work that would have the most impact for our students would be something about our location, our place. And I thought, well, that might make an excellent piece of theater to use the resources of historical research and the skills that our students are gaining as part of a liberal arts education in order to look at how barriers, both of representation, what can be shown on stage, and barriers to who can be in the audience limit creative potential and limit our ability to act to have a stronger community and a more equitable and just society.
What would you like people to take away from this play?
I would love people to take away interest in examining moments in our shared history and in what ways are we closing ourselves off to moments of shared creativity if we do lean into fear instead of to trust? And that's what I hope people take away is an increased sense of trust in the power of our shared culture and the sharing of culture.
What does it feel like to bring this specific show to the Annie Russell stage?
I keep crying. I'll tell you, Nicole, I cry. There are moments that are staged that are meant to make you see the theater, to see that this is the Annie Russell, you're in the place that they're talking about, and you are seeing people entering the theater who only 95 years ago were not allowed to be on this stage or to be in this space after sundown. And so there are these moments of deep regret and pain for the past and then joy because you see both present and past in the moment and you see it staged through singing, inviting you to lift every voice and sing in this moment. And so it's a weighty story, but it's very moving to see it staged in the Annie Russell Theater.
That was Spotlight's Nicole Darden-Creston speaking with Rollins Theater Director Marianne DiQuattro. Hear the full interview and learn more about the show, Let the People Sing, by subscribing to Spotlight, the podcast. Get it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get this podcast. That's it for The Wrap this week. This podcast is produced by Central Florida Public Media with editorial assistance from news director LaToya Dennis. I'm Brandon Byrne. This is The Wrap.